I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
It's all right.
You know, I've heard so much about, you know, at the Tribune Tower here, they're making so many different changes to the building. I want to see what they're doing to the cafeteria, so I'm just going to split. And Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, I'll start tonight by just going, what do you guys think of the memo?
Bye, Justin.
Goodbye, Justin.
So I got to tell you, my first reaction upon reading the memo, and I read it right before I dashed out to lunch on Friday, was, that's it? Because I was like, oh my God, there has not been a case where there was this much hype and this little substance since Al Capone's vault. It was a joke. They should be embarrassed. Frankly, I don't understand why the Democrats threw such a fit over it. I don't understand why the FBI and the Justice Department said they were gravely concerned. I mean, it's misleading. It's faulty. It's already been key elements of it have already been disproven. And it certainly didn't do what Trump tweeted about it the next morning when he said the memo totally vindicates Trump and the Mueller investigation and the Russiagate. It's all phony, false, fake news.
All right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, ding, gosh, ding. Chris Roebling's turn.
David certainly has an opinion.
I have many.
The very sad part about that memo is it evokes in some of us old enough to remember, and I really hate to say that, but it's true. The Church hearings, right? Senator Frank Church's investigations into abuses by FBI and CIA in the mid-1970s. This shows exactly the same kind of abuse of power and insiderism and secrecy.
No,
excuse me. I did not speak during your soliloquy.
Okay, Governor Rauner.
It shows exactly the same kind of abuses that grow up in the dark, right? And when they're obscured for public view, and that's why it's terrific that the memo came out. It's terrific that the Democrat memo was voted out today by a unanimous House Intelligence Committee. I think that will get through the White House 5-day process in the next 4 or 5 days, as did ours, and it'll be out probably by the weekend or Monday, something like that. And that's going to be good, too. The underlying facts aren't going to change because of David's mischaracterizations, nor are they going to change because of, you know, Democrat diversionary tactics.
Like but pointing to facts.
And what is very, very troubling for any American who cares about civil liberties is the fact that Hillary hired Vladimir's PR firm and produced a campaign handout, and that campaign handout was then turned in by the government, the official government, the FBI and the Department of Justice, to get a court to authorize surveillance on an American citizen about whom there has been no charge and certainly no conviction.
Dave Lundy.
So here's the problem with Chris's assertion there. They built this house on a foundation of Carter Page. Carter Page, who in 2013 wrote a letter bragging about his Kremlin contacts. Carter Page, who was recruited by Russian agents in 2013 and has been under some form of surveillance since 2013. So, you know, a different question one might ask is, why is a known Kremlin stooge being talked about by Donald Trump as one of his top foreign policy advisors in March 2016? Maybe you want to ask, oh, why are we letting people so close to the Kremlin to be close to the Republican presidential candidate? But in terms of the memo and the facts around this, there's context here. The context the Republicans didn't want to include, they've now admitted, like the fact that that contrary to the memo, when they went for the FISA warrant, they said that this information was from a political source. I don't remember the exact language they used. We'll find out when the Democratic memo comes out. That was conveniently left out. The fact that Carter Page had been approached by...
That was not left out.
It was left out. The fact it was approached by Russian agents in 2013 was missing from the memo. What was interesting, because it was included in the memo, is that, in fact, this investigation did not start what's his name, Carter Page. It started with George Papadopoulos in July of 2016. The memo actually includes that.
Chris Roebling.
Well, look, the memo is a deeply troubling recitation of events in which the wife of the number three Department of Justice official, Bruce Orr, was working for Fusion GPS And the firm Fusion GPS was hired by Vladimir Putin to attack the Magnitsky Act, which is a very important safeguard that has been imposed by the United States. And they went out and connived and colluded with Kremlin-related Russian nationals to come up with the items that have gone into what James Comey himself personally said is salacious and unverified. So
No. James Comey did not say that. He was talking about the pee-pee part of the memo. He was not talking about the entire
Comey said.
Well, it seems to me, guys, round one is over here, but it seems to me that seems to be the issue, that context and both sides seem to be pointing towards interpretations of transcripts. We saw it with the McCabe stuff where Nunes said that they didn't use the dossier, but then the Democrats are saying, he didn't say that. Look at the transcripts.
No, wait. Nunes reported that, the memo reports that
McCabe said,
indirectly,
yeah,
not with a direct quote, but indirectly, that McCabe said it was
a paraphrase
that it was a but-for condition of going for the FISA warrant.
But
that's not what McCabe said.
And that's what the Democrats are pushing
David
back.
David doesn't know that. He's repeating talking points.
No,
I'm repeating what's in the memo.
I'm repeating what Democrats who were in the room when they testified
said. Yeah, there are Republicans who are in the room.
And by the way,
and we're going to get the testimony.
Nunes, see, this is my
we
issue.
Will get the testimony.
This is my issue, though. The interpretation, you can
I don't think we should spin it. I think that we should get the testimony. I believe that this is a case. The Democrats lied consistently in the run-up to the memo by saying, this will ruin our national security. This will reveal
the FBI said they were gravely concerned.
The FBI itself personally.
The DOJ said that they were concerned and that it was reckless disregard to throw this out there without review.
There were no sources or methods revealed. There were almost no
words
changed.
Turns out there was nothing revealed.
And so the Democrats were precisely wrong, which is not surprising.
So one quick thing here. Yeah. The one thing that Chris cannot do and the one thing that Republicans cannot do is escape the fact that they have not been able to successfully attack any actual fact in the dossier. They did not say anywhere in that dossier there was anything wrong with it. And Trey Gowdy, the grand inquisitor of Hillary Clinton, said this weekend on the Sunday shows that, in fact, this doesn't undermine the Rosenstein. It doesn't undermine the Mueller investigation.
Who said that?
It doesn't.
Who said that? I didn't say
Donald
that.
Donald Trump.
I said, well, Trump's wrong. I didn't say that. You're
president.
All right. Chris Rowland and Dave Lundy playing touche tonight. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got to talk about Dow. And then we should talk local stuff with Jeannie Ives and Bruce Rauner as well. Touche. Jay, stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio, as they are every Monday night. Then we have a show. We haven't had one in a while. Chris, what comes from...
Well, we've
memo
already.
Gate. What's going to happen? Rod Rosenstein?
No, we've seen a series of reassignments already inside, and the reassignments like Bruce Orr, Strzok going to the HR office at the FBI, which is a dead end for his career, and it should be. And Bruce Orr was demoted, and then McCabe within 12 or 14 hours of the of Christopher Wray, the FBI director, reading this,
McCabe home.
McCabe home. So already there's been an effort at self-correction, but I think there will be a half a dozen official results, either disbarments or loss of the license to practice law for a few years, or possibly even convictions. I think that the people we need to hear from are the judges of the FISA court, four of whom approve this. And if they feel that they were misled by the government, then it's going to be very serious.
Dave Lundy, do you agree?
No, not at all.
But you have to agree
shocking.
If the judges feel misled, they're going to be upset.
Chris, if the judges feel, if four individual judges felt that each of them were misled, which is not going to happen, because I don't think they were misled in the slightest. I think when the Democratic memo comes out and the Republicans voted unanimously today because they were just mocked universally
they
for what they did.
They said all along they would release
no,
the Democratic memo when the Democratic memo was
The Democratic
ripe
memo
for
should have been released with the Republican memo.
No,
the reason
that would have
it was not.
The goals that you guys say you support, but you don't support the rules.
It was not. It was because the Republicans.
No, they did not hold the memo.
You could have.
Sure, they did. They didn't share it with the Democrats.
You guys are stating falsehoods.
No, we're stating truths.
The Democratic memo was not produced at the same time as the Republican memo, and
it couldn't be because it was a response.
Well, I'm sorry. You have to follow a certain time series to get these memos out. So you guys have been distorting. Stop that. Yes. Now let's talk about Jeannie Ives.
Chris Roebling under the Too Bad So Sad school of thought.
Stop that.
You boys are out of control.
I love it. I'm going to pull
I asked Jeannie that question today, and it flew right by her, unfortunately.
What was the question?
I said, as a mom, have you ever had to separate arguing little boys?
She completely missed your question.
She thought I was serious.
No, you said, have you ever had to, were they ever confused about who was in charge?
Yeah.
And you said
obviously
it as a takeoff on Rauner.
Rauner and Matt.
She missed it.
And Jeannie.
So Jeannie Ives was at the City Club
today. Fantastic job, except for that one answer.
So she's at the City Club today, and she got a lot of press today because there were a lot about the ad that she put out this weekend.
Brilliant ad. Fabulous.
Dave Lundy.
You know, the thing is, the part of the ad I liked was the 60-second version because it included the attack on Exelon.
Yeah.
I thought that was rock on because since I headed the fight against the nuclear bailout. That said, there are parts of the ad that are designed to be offensive.
That's not true.
The transgender individual.
That's not true.
Or the person who's purported to be a trans. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's why Proft in his response said, it's just an ad. It's just an ad. And he wouldn't go any further on this.
It's designed to be offensive.
A man with a 5 o'clock shadow and a deep voice in a dress and claimed that's transgender. That was not transgender. Something I pointed out to Jeannie Ives while she was on the podium in a reflex outburst that I've never done in 30 years at the City Club. But she was explaining that everybody in that ad was an accurate representation. And then she said, and the transgender man was an accurate representation. And I said, I was in the front row. I said, no, it's not. And she said, yes, sir, it is. They've been in my office.
Yeah. She was talking about the words. David was talking about the image.
No, she was not. She was talking about the person.
She said,
those people have been in my office and they look like that.
Look, David is upset with transgender.
It was offensive.
Yeah. David's offended. Okay. So therefore what? The whole.
No, I was offended that she was lying.
No, she wasn't lying.
Yeah, she was lying.
She was not lying.
She got up there and she said,
all right, hold on. Chris, go.
Okay. He's not ready.
You want a glass of water? No.
She got up there and she said.
Hold on a second. Jeannie Ives did a phenomenal job talking today about property taxes, about government spending, about turning around the business climate in this state. And, you know, people are beginning to hear that this is a serious policy candidate who has got ideas about improving things, decried Rauner's strategic choices in the first year where he went into this whole big
in response to
David's question. And I think that she is gaining a hell of a lot of credibility and a hell of a lot of momentum. I'm predicting that she's going to defeat Bruce
Rauner. But doesn't she take a step back with the commercial?
No, I think that she actually takes a step forward. Why? Because she has to overcome. Here is Rauner. With hundreds of millions of dollars, he's been governor for 3.5 years, and he was running for 1.5 years before that. So Rauner's name is out there. Very few people know Jeannie Ives. She had to break through the clutter. She's got limited funds, and I think she had a brilliant ad that pointed out 4 or 5 very serious issues on which all kinds of people are going to agree.
Yes, but you got Slate magazine calling it bigoted.
Who cares? You think that matters in a Republican primary?
It doesn't even matter
in a general election.
I think Republican elected officials calling it, including Dave McSweeney, who supports Jeannie Ives,
and said
she should take it down.
That ad can be used in the fall when she defeats the Democrats.
I would encourage Chris to have them use it in the fall. In any event, look, he was correct in one respect, and I was actually prepared to type that Jeannie Ives was doing a very impressive job.
Oh, you did.
on those issues right up until she decided she was going to become the culture warrior.
And when she did that
and defended the representations as, hey, stop it, Governor Rauner. Stop interrupting me. When she did that, she demonstrated that, in fact, she's not ready for primetime. She's ready for Dan Proft Radio Network, who was there, who produced the ad.
Last thought, Chris Roebling.
Oh, I look. Let's just review. The ad attacked the Exelon bailout. It attacked unrestricted abortion on demand financed by taxpayer dollars for Medicaid recipients and state employees. It attacked the transgender birth certificate issue, which is a bizarre idea. And it attacked, what was the other one?
Sanctuary State.
Sanctuary State. Now, what was brilliant about the speech today is that Jeannie Ives detailed the votes on the floor of the General Assembly and showed how she was in the mainstream of the Republican Party. And it's Rauner who is in the extremes with the Democrats. Mm. I think this was a tremendous ad for Jeannie Ives, and I think she's providing leadership that will lead the state to a better place.
38%. Jeannie Ives will get 38%. She will lose. She will lose badly to Bruce Rauner. Because here's the thing. For everybody that she gains, for all the Trump supporters, the bottom feeders who love this kind of stuff, she loses five moderates who would otherwise have been with her.
Yeah, I don't like to editorialize too much, but it's the negativeness, the hate.
There was no hate.
It's very hate.
There's no hate.
The stereotypes of it, for sure.
Justin, there's no hate.
The bell has
corporate.
Rung.
There's love.
She put Corporal Klinger in her ad and said it was a transgender person.
Gentlemen, it's Touche. Chris Rowling, Dave Lundy. See you guys next week.